My name is Chris Blumen, and I'm a Magic the Gathering player and host of Pauper to the People on the MTGcast network. I'm also a husband, father, and a musician. In fact, aside from the occasional MTGO testing session and my weekly podcast, Magic the Gathering takes up a very small portion of my life. So this got me thinking, what do the other hosts of the shows on this site do when they're not tapping cards? I figured we could find out together. This is Meet the Cast.
Oh, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. Just watching the bowl games and just got on Skype and saw you were on. So.
Yeah, I figured I would test real quick. Our internet, it seems like it's back up and running now. It's been causing some serious issues, so I apologize for that.
No, you're fine. Where are you from?
I live in Kennewick, Washington.
Oh, so it's rainy and windy down there probably.
Well, the eastern side of the state's actually desert, so it's mostly just like windy, rainy, and like a bunch of tumbleweeds.
Sounds like where I live.
So you're in Utah, right?
Yeah, all of the hosts of my podcast are living in Utah right now. So,
all right, cool. So yeah, basically, we just kind of talk, try and find some common ground to talk about, or it's awkward for half an hour. Either way is perfectly fine.
You've asked awkward half hour. I listened to the KYT, the Jay Boosh, and the Tangent Cast, and I don't know, that none of those seemed awkward.
Well, sometimes you find common ground, but if you listen to the John Laux one, he was in the middle of, it was right after Diablo 3 came out. So he spent like half an hour talking about Diablo 3. He's like, I almost want to ask for a do-over. So yeah, maybe we'll get back around to that one. But so yeah, and this was just basically, like, I'm sure you've heard, just a way to start talking to these people that I listen to on a regular basis and help everyone else who listens to us as well kind of figure out what's going on.
I mean, yeah, I like your intro, you know, not all of our lives is completely magic, like... I don't know about you, but I'm gonna start going to school here soon. I'm not sure how old you are, but I'm 22 years old. I'm about to start going to school. Hopefully this fall for communications major in sports broadcasting. And sports is so far from magic; it's ridiculous. And it's like a whole nother world.
That's awesome. Well, I should introduce you. This is Spencer Howland. He is basically 10 years younger than me, so. He's a young son of a bitch. We're also allowed to swear on this, so don't worry about it. If something slips, I'm not going to edit it out.
Oh, all right. Good to know. Have you listened to my podcast?
Yes, I did. That's why I made sure I mentioned, hey, it's okay for you to say what you normally say on that show.
We don't hold back. We talked about holding back, but that conversation turned into... I was going to edit it out of our last podcast, but it was just too funny, like... I was just like, do you guys want to just stop swearing? And they're like, fuck no. I'm like, well, I guess there's your answer.
Yeah, see, and on Pauper to the People, we bleep fuck. I was like, let's just keep it like FX and AMC, where you can drop the occasional shit, but, you know, let's try and avoid the F-bomb, so.
Yeah, Chris sent out that email.
Yeah.
I'm not going to bash him on it, but I don't know. We had a disclaimer at the beginning of our podcast, but I removed it because they said that they had the thing up, and I don't know. But anyway, I don't know. What do you, I have a full-time job, so I have a full-time job taking care of, handicapped individuals. So I work a lot with that, and then I actually also work at a magic store.
Oh wow! So you keep busy with that, with work then?
Yeah, I am like always working. It's crazy. And when I'm not working, I'm actually a really big fan of TV shows right now. Like my girlfriend and I are sharing a Hulu account.
Very nice.
And I was like a huge fan of Smallville when that was on TV. And now they have Arrow on CW.
Yeah, that's the cop, right? Who?
No. Arrow is about the Green Arrow.
Oh, okay.
She's superhero, and so this show is a spinoff on him, and it is just sweet.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's what I've been doing lately. Like, I don't know. I'm downloading League of Legends right now. I've never played that before. But all the Magic players keep talking about it, so I'm...
Yeah, League of Legends and or Dota, so...
Yeah, Dota 2... I played Dota when it was on Warcraft, like... The little versions of Dota they had on Warcraft. Is that where it originated from?
Yeah, it was a Warcraft 3 mod.
That's what I thought.
And it just kind of took on a life of its own. So... It's one of those things I've always kind of thought about doing, but, you know, it's just like, it's one more thing, and I guess the people can be nasty to each other, and it's not that I'm a prude by any means. It's more just like, I don't need to deal with the internet being rude to me in one more way than it already is.
Yeah, the internet's pretty intense.
Yeah, it is. It is. So you mentioned you work with handicapped. Is that mental or physical or like a mix of both?
It's mostly mental.
Okay, cool.
I work in a house right now with three individuals, with three of the oldest individuals in the company, and they are just awesome. A lot of it's like a mental retardation for a lot of them.
Sure.
I worked with some teens for a little while, and that job was just so much harder.
I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it.
Like them going through puberty at the same time as being, you know, having, you know, being, you know, 8 years old while actually being 17 it was just a lot of work. And I mean, the job is very rewarding because you get to,
sure,
you get to work with people and like improve their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Like the clients I have now, they just love to go to 7-Eleven and the dollar store and the DI, which is like Utah's version of, I don't remember what is that store called outside of that where you buy used things. What's it called?
Like a pawn shop?
No, not like a pawn shop. like Goodwill. Is that the name of it?
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, Goodwill. We've got like CI out here, yeah, and so, stuff like that. Goodwill, Value Village.
So, yeah, the LDS Church in Utah has a store called Desert Industries, which is like a like huge Goodwill, like a giant Goodwill store. And they have like... it's just massive. So these guys love to go there because everything's really cheap and they can get like toys and like, oh, and you know, just improving somebody else's life makes you feel a little bit better, you know. And you know, I'm kind of a dick on my podcast, but in real life, I'm actually like really tender-hearted, I guess, like a weird, yeah, like, I don't know.
Nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's like when people, because with the guys in my band, it's the same way. You call each other every name in the book, and people are always like, are you guys really friends? It's like, yeah, that's what guy friends do.
Yeah, absolutely. If I wasn't calling my best friend a bitch every day, then he would think I was mad at him.
Right, like, exactly.
And you know, that, you know, if you, an interesting topic is, did you read Patrick Chapin's article on Fight with Flores?
I didn't get a chance to. I'm kind of aware of it, but, you know, You talk about not having any time.
Yeah.
I work full time. I've got three kids. I'm in a band. I do two podcasts and I just finished a novel. So I'm pretty.
I tried to write one. It didn't work out too well.
Yeah.
I write articles, but that's about it. No. So in like you said, how men interact with each other today is a lot different than like, I don't know. I think if my dad saw me interacting with my friends, he'd probably freak out. But, you know, in Patrick's article, he talks about how swearing is a crutch. And then, like, I don't know, my friend calls me, you know, a cunt on a regular basis. And
sure,
if he didn't, I'd be worried.
Right, right. I mean, I try and tone it back because I know, I mean, being in bands, it's really easy to develop a potty mouth backstage. So it's just like I have to really be conscious of tuning it back for my kids' sake.
Absolutely.
As well as my own, but it's just like, no, it's the same thing. It's like, I don't care. I really don't care. And so when people like Patrick Chapin say stuff like that, I find it interesting on an intellectual level, but as far as how it works with you and your social group, every social group has its own societal norms and stuff.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
That. I mean, you don't go to Denny's at 3 a.m. and call each other fuckers as loud as physically possible. Because you have to take the people around you into consideration. But by the same token, you know, if I'm, you know, at band practice or just hanging out with my buddies playing some paper magic and we're calling each other that and there's no one else around that is there, it's like, you know, what's the big deal? It's not really anyone else's concern at that point.
You play guitar for your band? Or bass? It looks like a bass player. Okay. Yeah, my roommate and one of my teammates on my magic team, he's a drummer. He's been in like five bands. One of my other teammates named Travis, he's in a band right now. So I am surrounded by music all the time.
Yeah.
What style of music do you guys play?
We do it's so easy to just say we're like alternative, but it's like the song that we have at the beginning, that I have at the beginning of the show is one of ours.
Okay.
The music that I use on Popper to the People is our music. So it's kind of like a heavier alternative. The guys in the band and I, we've all been playing together, and basically we've gone through lead singers for various reasons. But every time we went through a new lead singer, we kind of accumulated this next piece of the puzzle. So it's me, two guitar players, and the drummer, who we've played together for 5 years at this point in different bands. And we got to the point with this last one where it's like, you know what? We're going to do whatever we want. If we want to have something that's kind of really aggressive, almost metal, and then it just breaks into funk at the middle of it, we're just going to do it. We're going to write what we want. So basically it's kind of just alternative rock, you know, music for music's sake, as opposed to being like, it's got to be 3.5 minutes and it's got to be radio friendly. No one's under any illusions at this point.
Yeah. The thing that amazes me about music, I'm not musical at all. I love listening, and I am a big fan of, there's not music that I dislike really, like, but, you know, just that people are, you know, like you said about being critical, like, people are so critical in the music industry, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, if you change your sound for a day, people just will leave you in the dust, and it's probably really hard for you. Like, I can't imagine, like, do you guys have a sponsor, or do you guys?
No, we're nowhere near that big. We are, we've got the devoted following in the area.
Okay.
And we play out of town. But realistically, everyone's kind of like, you know, with the internet, you just put your music up on YouTube if you want. And, you know, we've got one CD out, we're working on our second one. I was actually listening to some of the scratch tracks before I got on the phone with you,
mm-hmm.
But it's just, you know, we're going to do our own thing and not try to please people. If they like it, awesome. If they don't, that's cool too. Not all music's for everyone.
Oh, absolutely.
But everyone who's heard it really enjoys it. So
but that's something that everybody can get into, right? Like, everybody loves music.
Yep. What I began to find out is that, actually podcasting scratches a lot of that itch to just be out there for people as well. So
yeah,
that's been really nice too.
I'm actually trying to start a YouTube thing, where I'm doing I want to do like maybe a weekly or biweekly video just talking about magic and maybe talking about like something else if I decided to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, getting YouTube subscribers is actually a lot harder than getting people to listen to a podcast.
Yeah, it really is. And there's a lot of work that goes into, you know, even if you don't want to be the biggest, it's just like self-promotion. And, you know, the MTG Cast Network was nice that it helps out with that. But it's like, man, like, are you the one, do you do a lot of the editing and stuff for your show?
I do all of it.
Okay, so, yeah, you basically are in the same role I am, where you have to corral three other idiots on a weekly basis.
Yeah, I was going to edit the Public Enemies podcast, but I sent them the episode back to them after editing it, and Jeebus just was not happy with my editing.
That's a shocker. Jeebus not happy about something? Yeah. So yeah, it's funny. I was almost thinking about, because when you had mentioned that you had heard this show before, I want to do a show. It's got to be the right person, where I just completely do it apathetically, where it's just like, so what show are you on? Oh, awesome. That's what we needed, was another standard podcast.
We talk about standard. I think that we're more a local podcast.
Yeah, no, that's cool.
But, I mean, it was surprising. When we had Paulo on, like, we did a contest where you tell a scumbag story. And
uh-huh.
the one who had the best scumbag story in the comments was going to get four Jace memory depths. Not memory depths. What's he called? Architect of Thought, signed by Paul.
Yeah. Awesome.
Okay, so the guy who won lives in England. So I have to ship the Jaces to Brazil for Paulo. Then I have to ship them back out to England. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
We my original co-host Matt, we did a similar thing. He wanted to get shirts made. I was like, okay. So we managed to find a sponsor, and we're still paying Matt back for out of his pocket for these shirts. I was like, what do you want to do with these? He's like, we'll just, you know, I was like, you know, we could sell them for maybe basically what we got them made for, just for that. He's like, no, let's just give them away. I'll take care of shipping. I was like, you know, people can listen to us anywhere in the world. He's like, yeah, it's not a problem. First time we had to ship something to like Finland. He's like, yeah, this was a bad idea.
Yeah, I did not realize. And then like, you know, with the podcast, you know, you don't know who's listening, right? And like,
mm-hmm.
like you get like sometimes you get these random people. My friend, he just quit Magic, but his name is Julian Tavares. He's Fubsy Gamer on YouTube. He did this thing where he always talked about Magic, but he wanted to make a YouTube video about his religion just because people had questions about it because he was Mormon gone atheist. So he makes this video, and this guy. Like I said, you know, he's listening, and this guy posted this comment. He's just like, yeah, you know, Magic had a lot of things right, like the planes, and like, you know, there are a couple things wrong. And he just goes on about how like Magic is real life, and like there's planes and how you can become a planeswalker. And like, yeah, and you don't know where this guy's from, but he's listening to you, and like, that's, he gets crazy, dude. Like,
and he has opinions.
Right. Oh, yeah. Talking about the internet, you don't know who's there. But it's cool, though, right? Like, somebody in England is listening to my podcast. Like,
I love it. It's just because, and, you know, I've talked with a bunch of other hosts about this, too. But when people are like, hey, man, you know, I hope I'm not bugging you. I just wanted to say hi. You know, like when you're on MTGO, it's like, bugging me? I'm just a dude on the eastern side of Washington that just does a show. Of course you're not bugging me.
I actually had a guy bug me today, but.
Oh, okay. But, well, I'm a better person than you, so
yeah,
we've
obviously.
Established that.
No. Like there's this, chick. I'm gonna plug her if that's okay. I'm gonna look this up real quick. But she was really cool. Just like came to me on Facebook. I'm gonna go to my team's Facebook really quick. But she was just like, oh my gosh, I love your show. Plug my art. And I was like, oh yeah, do you have a site? And she's like, no, I just have my Facebook page. I was like, well, that makes it a little awkward to plug you.
Yeah, no kidding.
But no, she was really nice, and her name is on Facebook is I hope all the listeners love my typing, you know everyone, like,
you're not as bad as one of the guys on mine. Sounds like he's hitting his keys with a sledgehammer. So
that's horrible. Yeah, Lauren MPG Smith. She does alt art, and it's really sweet that, like, she came to me, she's like, I love your cast, and it would mean a lot to me if you plugged my art. And I'm just like, oh, like, I've never had that happen before. That's cool. And
yeah, it is really cool.
And it's like you say that, you know, we have more common ground than just Magic, but Magic is something that brings us all together, which is just sweet. Like you with music, like everybody likes music, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, I don't know.
Except it's people just... that are dead inside.
they
sweeping
like,
generalizations.
Yeah, they like music though. They just, you know, it's all funeral, you know.
No, they hate you for liking it. That's the difference.
Yeah, I guess there's always going to be somebody out there that's like, no, this is stupid.
Yep. So what else? What else are you up to? What else do you like to do in your spare time?
You know, I used to be a really big basketball guy. Before Magic, I played basketball every Wednesday. I'd go with guys and play a pickup game. And I'm like 5'7". I'm tiny. But I would actually play the forward position on the team because my butt is actually very large for a white man. Strangely enough. So I would use my backside to push myself into the key. And the other day I was working out with one of my teammates on my Magic team, and he's like, I was like, do you want to go play basketball? And he's like, yeah. And I go step up to the free throw line, and I sink 17 out of 20 shots. And he's like, where did you learn to do that? And I was just like, well, you know, before I played Magic, I did other things, right?
Yeah. If you listen closely, you can hear the sound of 5-600 Magic players frantically typing into Google what a forward is in basketball.
Are you one of those people, Chris?
No, no. I played basketball in junior high. That was kind of a big deal. No, I was a forward in junior high, which is where they stick the fat kids in junior high. Is forward position and right field in baseball. So those were the positions I played.
You know, and then, in my junior high, you had to be good at basketball to make the basketball team, and it didn't matter how big you were. I don't know. How competitive were sports 10 years before I was in high school? I'm not sure.
I can't really attest. I went to Catholic school, through eighth grade.
Oh, okay.
So that was basically, probably not the best cream of the crop as far as like the big public schools. And then
most of the best players in the NBA all come from private school.
That's true, but I mean, I don't know how true that would be for like, you know, sixth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade.
I get that.
Unless,
true.
Yeah. And then once I got to high school, I did go to public high school, but it was, there were 14 kids in my graduating class.
Holy crap.
So we're talking like, you know, Eastern Washington. So we're talking like, our football was B8, so it was 8-man football, which was actually really cool. But I was always on the pep end. But so it's like, you know, the quarterback was also a defensive end type of teams that we had in football. But it was just, you know, I fell in love with playing music. And,
oh, absolutely.
You know, because, I mean, I'm 6'1 in high school. I weighed like 260 pounds. I've lost a lot of that weight now. Mm-hmm. But the football coach was always pissed. He's like, why are you playing that stupid bass when you could be on my line? It's like, because I'm a musician. You know, get out of my face.
they had four linemen, a tight end and two receivers and the quarterback and a running back. That was like it.
Yeah. That would be like the standard. It was almost like a full length football field. So if you'd imagine like watching an arena football game on a full length football field, it was really similar. You'd see a lot of the similar formations and that type of stuff. So, which is really cool now that we have a arena football team based out of the Tri-Cities. Kennewick's one of the Tri-Cities. So I get to, you know, I'll go to a couple of those games a year and I get to see it because it always interests me. I never had the band guy versus the football guy, you know, mentality. That was never there because we were such a small school.
Mm-hmm.
So I was never like, well, you know, fuck football. Those guys are suck. You know, it was nothing like that. So I get to go to these arena football games and kind of see that stuff again.
And as a pep band, you get to go to all the games, right? Like,
yep. All the home, all the away games, you know, and I was in pep band, you know, you would do basketball and football and then, come spring, I would actually play tennis. Because it was just me, so I didn't have to worry about the rest of the guys on my team.
You were 6'1", 260 playing tennis?
Yeah. I didn't say I was good, but I was varsity because there were only like three guys that everyone else was playing baseball. So, but you know, that's the other thing is we didn't have, I like how I make this about me.
Yeah, no, you're cool. No, I was just thinking how like, you know, my, like people talk about how like my city is tiny and your city just not like, Salt Lake City, Utah is, everyone talks about it like it's just like the boonies and like,
yeah.
I mean, and you know, I don't feel that way, but like when I go, like, I actually have become a big fan of like bigger cities. When I was younger, my senior trip, I went to New York City for my senior trip with my dad. And, and I was just like, I hated it. I was like, this is so stupid. There's like 3 billion people walking around me. Like, I can't hear myself think in this city.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, 4 years later, I go to Vegas, you know, for the first time since forever. And I was just like, wow, I love this. Like, there's tons of people, there's stuff to do. And, you know, since then, I've become a really big fan of big cities. Like, I'm going to move downtown, into the downtown area here in Utah soon. And, you know, hearing about your tiny town is just like, sounds so horrible. My girlfriend lives in Cedar City, Utah, which is like this, where like they have, there's nothing there.
Yeah. Well, what's the population of Salt Lake right now? Just a rough estimate.
A couple million? Six million?
Yeah.
6 million, maybe? Maybe that's 6 million in Utah. I don't even know.
Oh. Because the city I live in now, there's 60,000 people in it. But where I went to high school was a town called Washtenaw. Basically, it was a little farming town.
190,000 people in Sully.
Okay. So like twice the size of where I live now. But where I went to in high school, Washtenaw, there were 300 people in the town.
Yep. So my graduating class had more people than that.
Yeah, that's what my wife is in the same boat. She's like, there were 400 people in my graduating class. Like, whatever. But our school was basically one long hallway, and on the farthest end of it was preschool, and on the other end of it was senior high. Mm-hmm. So it is a very, very different world, especially now that my daughter's in second grade. And of course, there's chaos with second graders, but you know, she's in the big school type thing, so it's just like, geez, this is nuts. I don't know how you could do it, but you know, my wife's like, this is just what it was like. So you just deal with what you were, you know, given, I guess, in that circumstance.
What do you do for a living?
I'm a probation officer.
Oh, wow. I was thinking, I was actually, this last year, I was just debating between going down three different career paths.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was, communications major for sports broadcasting. Mm-hmm. One of them was, in the field that I do now, I was thinking of becoming a social worker.
Sure.
Because I just, and then the third one, in addition to the social worker, was becoming a police officer. Because I just love helping people, right? Like I don't know if the probation officer fits into that category, if you feel like it does, but.
Well, you help the community.
Right.
because what's interesting about your job with, dealing with handicapped people versus what I deal with, is you get the reward of, you know, people achieving something or doing something or having a good day. You know, what I get the reward in is the people who, a lot of ways I can compare it to my kids. The people I deal with are a lot like my kids, except my kids have hope.
yeah.
And it's not a bitter way of saying it. It's more just a reality thing. It's like, you know, you've been busted for meth three or four times. You have DUIs, you have all this stuff on your record, and now I'm the one who's, for your probation violation, I'm making sure you get locked away for a couple of years.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily helping that person, but it's helping the community.
It does help them though, right? Hopefully, end of it, they'll fix it, right? I mean,
hopefully.
I mean, I know that personally, I had trouble with the law when I was a teenager, and what happened to me helped me. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it wasn't my probation officer that helped me, but, you know, I know that because of what happened, my probation officer put me in a situation, where I could be successful.
Right. And that's ultimately the thing. It's the same with what I do now is I'm not the one who can change you. You have to be the person who has to change yourself.
And that's a big difference between your job and mine. Whereas in my job, like I'm with them every day.
Yeah.
I have to be their support line where, mm-hmm. You're kind of that way too, aren't you? Like you're the support line for them. If they need to talk to somebody, they can call you.
Yes and no. Because of the other thing, because of the size of our city, we don't do a lot of door to door stuff. It's mostly, paperwork and, you know, phone calls and occasionally visiting people.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a lot more like the person where it's, this dude got a new violation. I need to make sure all the affairs are in order for when he shows up for the hearing. And if he's not at the hearing, make sure the warrant gets issued and that type of stuff. It's a lot more paperwork, a lot less physically being out there.
Oh, I see.
But the closest thing to that would be, the people who, for instance, run like the outpatient, alcohol abuse or drug abuse facilities. So where it is, this is a person who's trying to get better and, I'm there to help them through that. I'm basically, I don't want to make it sound like it's an uncaring position because it's not. I do care, but I'm the one who is making sure everything's in order for when you mess up in some ways.
You're the guy I yell out on the phone. If you worked at a bank, you'd be the guy yelling out of the phone that really can't control anything.
Right. And I'm more like the, well, you're in trouble now, so now you get to talk to Chris. So, and Chris is the one
is
who says,
to your kids?
yeah, exactly. No, I'm working on my stare. You know, my 7-year-old daughter, every time she gives me some lip, I can use that same stare against these people for for about as much good as it does in both circumstances.
Let's tell my girlfriend, my boss at my magic shop was like, we were going on a magic trip, and he's like, I don't want to travel with this kid, because this kid wanted to come with us to Indianapolis this weekend. I'm not going, but they all just left. He's like, yeah, I want to go to Indianapolis. And, actually funny, because my girlfriend was standing right behind me, and he's like, I don't want to go with him. And I was like, yeah, it would be like taking my client with me to Indianapolis, like one of the guys I work with. Like, that's how annoying this kid was. And,
yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I mean, he's like, that's true. Like, I didn't even think of that. Like, you can't even handle this kid, and you work with these people. And I was like, yeah, it would probably be easier for my girlfriend, because she's going to be a kindergarten teacher. It's just like, that's probably how you think of the guys you work with. It's like, go back to kindergarten. Like,
the story I always tell people, because probably the hardest thing is the people who they've got an excuse for everything, and it's not their own behavior. It's the external circumstances that, you know, if you actually behave like an adult, you know, it's like that's a bullshit excuse. But I had this lady call in one time, and, you know, she's trying to get her son out of jail. He had to do like 360 days for failure to do his treatment, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, we can't do that. He's in there now. He can try writing a letter to the judge or asking for an appeal, you know, speak to his lawyer, whatever. It's like, well, we need to do something because he's just a boy. And I go and I look up his information. I'm like, ma'am, he's 2 years older than me. You know, it's like at the time I didn't have my youngest. It's like, I'm married. I've got two kids. I've got a full-time job. It's not that hard. I have a bachelor's degree in creative writing.
One of my best friend's mothers, her husband, this just reminded me of the story. Her husband was in jail for having sex with a minor. And we were talking about I hate to go Jay Bush on you and go politics on this, but it was a really funny story. Where I made a joke right in front of her without thinking about how I felt like rapists and people like that, you know, the death penalty was like, I don't want to be paying for them to live. That's not fair to me. Like, my tax dollars go to make, like, help them live. Like, I don't know. That's just my personal opinion. I'm not allowed to have it. And I was laughing at it. And I looked at her. I was like, oh, oops. And she's like, no, I agree. I hate paying for my ex-husband to live. He should be paying me for child support. It was just really funny. I don't know.
The Jay Bush thing, that's so funny that you mentioned that. Because I had people who were like, why would you have Jay Bush on and talk about politics? I'm like, because it's Jay Bush and I want to do something different. So of course I'm going to have a serious conversation with that guy.
That podcast was fine. People didn't like that.
Well, there were a couple of people that they were like, why didn't you do Scumbag Stories or something? I was like, he can do that on the A-Team. You know, this is for the people who want to know like a different side of the people they listen to on a regular basis.
People don't know that I work, like, that's kind of why I brought my job, is just that people don't know that I, you know, take time out of my day to take a 72-year-old man that's actually in all reality maybe 5 on a walk every day. Like, you would never get that from my podcast.
Yeah, that's kind of the point, where it's so funny when I had started my other show and, you know, because of my job, I can listen, you know, I just put on some headphones while I'm doing stacks upon stacks of files at work on a slow day. And so I'm just going to put on some podcasts, and you listen to anyone for a period of, you know, 3 months upward. It's like, all of a sudden it's like, I feel like I know this dude. And
yeah, absolutely.
I just kind of want to, you know, that I figured this could be a service for other listeners. So.
Yeah, like KYT, I've become a big fan of him, and when you did his, I was just like, oh my gosh, it's so awesome. I already feel like I know him, and like, I don't know, and like, I that's why I wanted to do the show, is just cause, you know, like with me, I'm a really big sports guy. I love everything about it. I'm a huge BYU fan, I'm a huge Patriots fan, I'm a Detroit Pistons fan. I'm not even a Jazz fan. So like,
see, man, you can't bring up the Patriots to me. I'm a Seahawks guy out over here with Seattle. So, man, we were getting along so well too.
I don't know. I don't tell you. I actually like the Patriots I wasn't digging into sports when I was a little kid, right? Mm-hmm. I turned 11 in 2001, and the guy I looked up to, he was a Patriots fan, right? And at the time, the Patriots weren't that great. And it's back in 2001, but the next year they win the Super Bowl, right? So the year after I liked them, they win the Super Bowl, and everyone's like, "You're the biggest bandwagon fan." I'm like, "What? I didn't know this, you know, next year? I was supposed to know this."
For the record, too, to everyone who's my age who heard you say, "Yeah, I turned 11 in 2001," fuck you. I turned 21 in 20.
it makes it easy to remember my age, though, because, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I just look at the last digit of the year, I'm like, oh, it's 2012, I'm 22, okay.
Yeah,
okay. No, I don't mean to make you feel old. Like,
no, you're not. Yeah, I don't feel old. My kids make me feel old.
That's funny because the guys I play Magic with make me feel old. So.
And actually, that's not even true either. Your kids make you feel young because I haven't had the opportunity to. But before I had kids, I can't remember the last time I got to, you know, play with toys or. You know, read kids' books or imagine
game,
and pretend.
Right?
Yeah. So now that I have my own, it's like, man, sometimes I have to remember that, you know, when my daughter does something wrong, it's like, oh man, you're going to get in trouble from, oh crap, that's me. Yeah, don't do that.
You're going to get in trouble from that.
My daughter has told me, it's like, she's like, if you don't knock it off, I'm going to tell mom. I'm like, we're equals. I don't know if they think that I'm just like the really old kid or something, but it's like, hold up a second here.
I've been dating the same girl for a year and a half now, and I feel like if I mess up, I'm in trouble. Like,
yeah.
like I hate to say I'm whipped, but oh my gosh, like you're married, so you and your wife are married.
Yep.
Yeah. So I mean, when you do something wrong, it's like go sleep on the couch, right? Well, my girlfriend lives 200 miles away, so when I do something wrong, it's like. Yeah, you're going to be on Skype with me for the next 2 hours, whether you like it or not.
Sorry, honey, the internet's cutting out.
Oh, if I did that, I'd be in so much trouble. But
what's she going to do, drive 200 miles and yell at you to your face?
You think you would wonder what she'd do, but you're married.
My wife and I.
You know that like you're going to be in trouble in some way or another.
We did, I think it was like a 150-mile long-distance relationship for my last 2 years of college. So, yeah, they will. If you make them mad enough, they'll totally make that trip. And then they'll have 2 hours to stew about it.
But she flies for free.
Oh, nice.
She flies for free. She can be here in 45 minutes.
That's great. Just standing there and some guy comes up. It's like, who are you waiting for? Oh, my girlfriend's got to yell at me.
You don't even know. You don't even, like... Maybe, you probably do know. I mean, I do know.
So yeah, my wife and I, the 28th of this month will be our 10th wedding anniversary. So
10 years ago, what was I doing? 10 years ago, I was learning how to play StarCraft 1 on my dad's computer.
Yeah, 10 years ago, I was just about done with college. So
gosh, now you're making me feel young.
Well,
I feel like a baby now. I'm like, well, I'm also 4 years out of high school and I haven't started college, so maybe that's why I feel so young. I could probably have graduated already.
Yeah, see, I did the whole roll right in. Graduated from high school in June, and I was back in school in August with college. So,
now,
yeah.
As a member of the church when I was a kid, I don't know if you know anything about the LDS religion.
I do.
Yeah. So they have missionaries, and mm-hmm. when you get out of high school, it's like time to go on a mission. So I was going to not go to college, and then I didn't get to go on a mission, and then all things snowball from there, right? But that's why I didn't start college. And you know, I get jealous of. I get really jealous. Like it's a flaw of mine where I get so sad, and when I see my friends getting married or like graduating from college. Like my girlfriend is 2 years younger than me. She's going to graduate from college next year.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, once you, it's right around 25 or so. Once the longer you're out in the real world with people who are your age and stuff like that stuff kind of blurs and doesn't really become a huge thing anymore. You know, it's just like talking with you. It's like, you know, you're just another guy. It doesn't, that almost like high school kind of social status that's just like, well, what year are you? You're this year, you know, that type of, that stuff starts to like, just like fade away after a little while. Then it all becomes, what are your benefits at your job? But no, my wife, she's a pediatric dental assistant, so she deals with kids. But both of the doctors she works for are Mormon, so.
Yeah, my dad's a bishop, and religion is a really big deal in my family, so.
Uh-huh.
Hence the BYU fan, right? Like, I couldn't not be a BYU fan. It's so, like, into my blood that it's, I'm too far gone. Like, I couldn't, even if I literally hated the LDS Church, it's so far into me that I just would appreciate that to begin with.
So you're active in the LDS Church then?
No, my job makes me work on Sunday, and my cuss mouth would prevent me from. I did just baptize my girlfriend. I got permission to do that, so now she's a member. But no, I can't. I have to work on Sunday because somebody has to watch my clients on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know about your job, but my job is literally 24 hours a day. Like, somebody has to be with these people all the time. And I find it to be a privilege to be able to help them in that way.
Oh, absolutely. No, I'm a Monday through Friday, 7:30 to 4:30, which was, you know, one of the main selling features of my job. Because I used to wait tables, and that was a similar thing, where it's like, well, you're working graveyard next week, get used to it.
I actually like graveyards because I can edit my podcast, but...
That'll change the closer you get to 30. no, but religion's always really interesting to me. Because I'm Catholic. I was born Catholic.
Going to a Catholic private school, I'm sure it touches pretty close to home.
Yeah, and then I, you know, left it for a while in college like you do. And then I, you know, when I got married and stuff like that, got married in the church and got way back into it. But it's always interesting to me because I've always been, we're gonna take a turn for serious, but
uh-oh.
If we go long, we go long.
Listeners. Plug your ears if you don't believe in God.
If you don't believe in God, I've got no problem with you.
I don't either.
If whatever your religious or political affiliation is,
I just don't want the comments of this podcast to be, oh, you guys believe in a higher being? Like, you guys are stupid.
Yeah. But that's kind of the point that I kind of want to bring up is it's like, I've always been a geek and I've always been a nerd and into, you know, the Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering came late in my life, but I'd always been, you know, the fat band kid. And so I've always been the geek. And it's like, as geek culture has become more and more popular and I start listening to, other shows like, you know, like the Nerdist podcast with, Chris, I'm going to blank on his last name at the moment.
Wait, which?
He does, it's at thenerdist.com. They do a bunch of stuff. But it seems like it's really popular with a lot of like that nerd, like the really hipster, edgy nerd stuff where it's like, yeah, man, and fuck the Christians and fuck religion. You know, I'm an atheist. I'm a real geek. And it's just like, it's kind of like, come on, man.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's bad enough that I spent my childhood and, you know, my teenage years and my early adulthood feeling ostracized for being a geek. Now that my culture is accepted as norm, you got to give me shit because of my religious beliefs.
Yeah,
I just always really frustrates me.
You know, and it's in the game of Magic, there's a lot of things that are sensitive subjects, and religion, girls. For some reason, girls is a super sensitive subject in Magic. I have no idea why, but like women in Magic, it's not sensitive.
Girls are scary.
Yeah, I don't even know. Religion. Religion, girls, and what's the other big one? The other big one is we talked about it on our podcast a little while ago.
Body odor?
No, that's not a sensitive subject. Wear deodorant.
Well, I mean, like girls, as far as like the misogyny and stuff like that.
I don't know. I don't want to get too much into girl. That is like a 3-hour debate, like 3-hour conversation. But religion. All of my friends in Magic, every single one of my teammates except for one, does not believe in God. And these are my close personal friends. And the thing that Magic has done for us, it has brought people of different faiths. My roommate is Catholic like you. He, you know, and my best friend, is agnostic, and three of my other teammates are straight up atheists. Like, you know, if they have a question, they can ask us openly because of the game that's brought us so close together. Like, that's something that's amazing. And as far as religion goes, like, you know, I'm gonna believe what I'm gonna believe, and you know, I think that the nerd community, I like how we can say that. Like, if you called somebody a nerd 2 years ago, they would have found it insulting, but now like nerd culture is like this awesome thing. But the nerd community, you know, for the most, I feel like we're pretty accepting, or we should be considering where we've come from, right? But, I mean, outside of the internet, when you get to know someone one-on-one, we're pretty accepting. But if you go on the internet and post something, it's not the same.
No, it's not. It's just really tough, especially when you're listening to a show or, like, a stand-up comedian. I love stand-up comedy.
And they all...
And it's just all of a sudden, it's like, I've been laughing at your jokes for 40 minutes. I've been digging your show. Now you're just going to, you know, make a broad, generalizing, you know, crap-on statement because of... someone doesn't believe the same thing you believe. It's like, just, you know, just be cool about it. So we went over a half hour.
I'm sorry.
No, not at all. I think Usman and I, ours was like 2.5 hours long because we got talking about music.
Which one?
Usman the Rad. He does the Third Power of the Cube show.
Oh, okay.
And we got off onto like metal and different types of metal and you know, music recommendations. So that one went long too.
Oh, but here's an interesting question before we go.
Yeah.
Can you guess the artist that's making the most money right now in the music industry?
The artist in the music industry that's making the most money right now. I would have to say it would either be Justin Bieber or Lady Gaga would be my thought.
So we had a debate about this last night, and I thought for sure Justin Bieber would be making more money. I was like, there's no way Justin Bieber is making more money than Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is making like $40 million more dollars than he is worth $40 million more dollars than he is right now.
Jeez. Well, Bieber's kind of fallen out of favor in a lot of circles though too. People are kind of turning on him, which isn't right, but it's what's happening.
I don't know. And then like bands that I thought would be super successful, I'd think that like Linkin Park would be up there and like one of the most successful bands ever, and they're not. And I was like, really?
Yeah, I wouldn't even know band like what band would be doing it right now.
Well, obviously, if you're gonna get musical, the Beatles are probably like the closest to billionaires, right?
Yeah, well, I'm sure the Beatles, you know, Apple, every time they release something new that's old from the Beatles, it just takes off. So.
All right, man.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, just to kind of wrap it up really quick, a disclaimer for the listeners who maybe don't share our beliefs. It's just like, I'm not on here saying this stuff to convince you or to, proselytize to you about anything.
Yeah,
It came up in conversation and we talked about it. And if anyone does have any questions about, you know, me personally with that stuff, it's like, you know, just ask me. But I don't care. I don't care what you believe. I don't care if you're male or female. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you identify as. I don't care what your sexual preference is. Because you're just a person.
Right. And that's something that we can all agree on. Nobody thinks that, you know, we're aliens or, you know.
Yeah.
We're all people, and we, you know, I found something that I connected with Chris on is that his wife is very religious and he's become that way. And I come from a religious family and, you know, that's where we connected. And that's what this podcast was supposed to be about, is where we found a connection.
Yeah. Yeah. So I also asked the guest if there's anything like last words that you wanted to say, maybe to people who listen to your show that wanted to hear something extra from you.
Oh yeah. Shout out to all of the BrainTap listeners. Check out our new website. We just sold mtgbluecrew.com. We're now at oasisgamesslc.com. You can check us out there now. Thank you very much for having me on, Chris.
Absolutely.
If anyone liked you, you can follow me on Twitter at I don't even remember. I think it's Spencer13H.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll put all that info in the show notes for you too. So if you forget, you can find it in your own show notes.
Yeah. Yeah, so Spencer13H on Twitter. And, you know, I use it to talk about Magic mostly now. That's what I try to talk about. I try to keep it that way. That's what I use my Twitter for. You can also find our team on Facebook at BlueCrewMTG, or you can like us at Team Oasis Game.
Cool.
So, yeah.
Awesome. Well, Spencer, I appreciate you taking the time to be on, and it was great to finally talk with you.
All right. Yeah, for sure, man. And I will I'll be giving you a shout-out on my next podcast. So
sweet. Right. I'll do likewise.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
Okay.